committee, and we will go into a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2249. And David Messero and Kim, please come up. Welcome to the committee, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I might say the Scholarship Commission certainly had great presentation, in my opinion, and I think Senator Gordley would agree, and the Ways and Means Sub on Education. I sure learned a lot that I didn't know about. And it's, I agree with you, we need to do more.
Appreciate that very much, Larry. Glad to know we made the case.
Yes, you did.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is David Lesereau. I'm one of the seven selected members of the commission, selected by the governor and approved by the Senate to serve a period of 4 years on the commission. I am in my second term. I spent 35 years as a classroom teacher in Portland Public Schools. We've come today to discuss the proposal from the commission to have its name changed. When the commission was first put together and with this title, its sole function was to administer a state scholarship. Now, that was some 30 years ago, and in the intervening time, where we've gotten to by today, the Scholarship Commission now administers the state NEED grant program, several narrowly defined grant and scholarship programs, the VISO program, privately funded scholarship programs, the federal student loan program, which you know from our testimony from the Ways and Means Committee is the largest single operation. And because of the action taken at the last legislature, we now are responsible for the Office of Degree Authorization, which identifies academic programs for review. It validates degrees and authorizes the degree programs in the state. That's a fairly comprehensive set of responsibilities at this point that aren't covered by the narrow perceptions that are associated with the title Scholarship Commission. This is a far more extensive activity. And that's the problem that we've wrestled with over the last year and a half, is trying to come to a name that more suitably accounts for what it is we've done and are responsible for doing. We've selected, after researching names of similar commissions in other states, the most commonly used one speaks to assistance. So we selected Oregon's Student Assistance Commission. We didn't come to this with a feeling of being overjoyed that we found just the name that capitalized everything we did, but if you look at some of the alternatives that were offered, they result in an acronym so large it will break your job in terms of trying to become specific, and we were hesitant to become less and less by selecting something simpler, continuing the miscommunication that takes place. We certainly weren't as efficient and clever as the Oregon State System of Higher Education coming to the Oregon University System. We failed in an effort to be economic and colorful in what the result was. However, we haven't commissioned an effort for a new logo, and we don't see an advertising campaign to change our new name. We simply want to take standard steps to inform the institutions that we work with that our name has been changed. And in this order, we now, our stationery is computer generated, so we can change this at any time without incurring substantial printing costs. We thought at one time that we have to pay a service fee to the data processing systems that we exchange information with across the country, but we found that they're in the process of updating all of their materials, and we fit under that umbrella, so there would not be a direct cost for a name change at this point. So we believe that we can use this new title for the effective purposes of clarifying what our responsibilities are and being able to execute our job. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll wait for questions or comments until we hear from Mr. Beyer.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Jim Beyer from the Scholarship Commission. I came up here just knowing we were the only two bills I'm prepared to testify on, and that's when I have no additional comments on it.
Fine. Questions or comments from the members, Senator Duncan?
Sure. Well, I obviously would test the judgment of the commission. The only comment I have to make, and I'll vote for it, but the word student assistance, it kind of immediately think of public assistance kind of a thing, and I'm just wondering if there's a negative connotation. I'm sure you folks talked about that very thing. And
The piece we were after, Senator Duncan, was to highlight financial assistance of all kinds, and as I said, we were reluctant to add words into the title, lest it become so long that nobody could wrestle with it conveniently. But you're right, that piece is there, and it doesn't sort of clarify how old the student is either. So I could imagine somebody could easily pick up the phone book and think we could assist kindergarten.
I think it'd be kind of a certificate you've given historically. You know, the State Scholarship Commission, that has some meaning. It seems to be like giving somebody from the state assistance, student assistance. But, you know, like I said, I will support the bill. That's just that's my...
Fine.
No, I've given about as much thought to it as I just said that much time. So you folks will work with it. So it's good enough for me.
Other questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Does anyone else wish to testify on House Bill 2249? If not, I would like to close the hearing on House Bill 2249. And move to the hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2252. Gentlemen?
Mr. Chairman, again, for the record, Jim Beyer, Scholarship Commission. House Bill 2252, the purpose of this bill is to ease the administration of the Higher Education Community Service Voucher Program. This is a program that has existed for several biennia. Provides vouchers, tuition vouchers for students at Western Oregon University who participate in community service activities that are approved by the commission. Students that participate in this program serve 20 hours a week for an entire term at public and agencies and nonprofit agencies. This bill would establish a community service voucher fund to which the funds would be continuously appropriated in order to ease the administrative problems we have where students earn vouchers in one biennium but don't utilize them until a subsequent biennium. There's not very many of these students. Most of the students use it in the very next term, but not in every instance. And this would allow us to have those funds always readily available to reimburse the institution when the vouchers are submitted.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gordon.
Thank you very much and good afternoon. Two questions. How many students have participated in the program since its creation in 1995? And also, how much has been paid out in vouchers?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gordley, since the program began, we've had almost 120 participants, and roughly, I don't have the figure in front of me, but students receive $875 for every voucher, so there's been some that have earned a little bit more than that because of a few more hours earned, but that would give you the rough estimation of the funds that have been spent.
Thank you.
Senator Courtney.
Just for the record, the original intent was to try to match a term. A lot of the money was trying to, we were trying to match the amount of money it would cost a student for a term of tuition. 2 cents is not attempting to spread this program throughout the entire university system.
Okay.
I think we've kind of built from here down the way the means to not just put it at Western. I don't want anyone to think that we're just trying to hoard the rest of it. It was a product of the student government. The rest of them came up with the idea and they introduced this little bill, and lo and behold, they got it. So, I don't know, just a quick background information for some of you. All of you may know this about the little program. I just wish that we could do it at Portland State, Southern, U of O, Eastern, and OIT. And by the way, the first year we had it, we set it up along with Linfield and Western. They both did it. And Linfield eventually chose to walk away from the program. So we even public and private did the concept. Thought it was a nice blend of community service, but getting credit, you know, things like that. But anyway, I don't know if it's history. You need a history of that. But that was what this little program, which is still alive at all about. The students come back with remarkable knowledge. It's well run, I think, and it's well valued. So anyway, I just wish we could make it a statewide or to all the institutions.
David, do you have something you wish to add?
Looks like you said it right.
Okay. He does not. Thank you very much for your testimony. Anyone else wish to testify on House Bill 2252? Gary Ann Dean.
Thank you, Senator Hart. I'm Gary Ann Dean, Oregon Independent College Association Executive Director. I wasn't going to say anything, but I think I need to explain why Linfield walked away from the program, Senator Courtney. The statutory provisions of the program are simply too severe for many of our institutions to participate. The 20-hour-a-week requirement is something that goes against Linfield policy, so Linfield did not actually ever participate in it. They considered it, but they found it to be outside of their academic policy provisions, so they really couldn't participate in it. We did ask for some relief from some of those statutory restrictions last session, but that didn't go anyplace. So I just wanted to explain that to the Senate.
Thank you. Questions for Gary? Well, thank you very much. Anyone else to testify on House Bill 2252? If not, we'll close the public hearing on 2252 and open the work session on House Bill 2252.
Chair, I know House Bill 2252. This, the floor is the Ways and Means.
The floor.
The floor of the due pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves House Bill 2252 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator
Yes.
Senator
Aye.
Senator
Aye. Motion is passed. And Senator Courtney, would you like to carry the bill? Okay. Certainly a good bill, as is 2249, but I'd like to schedule a work session on 2249 for another day and not to work on that today. Senator?
Yeah. Can I just ask a question about our future?
Sure.
I understand we're going to have a session on Education Reform Act, is that right? We're going to have input or a discussion about that at some time. Is that right? Am I wrong?
Information on what?
Education Reform Act.
Our schedule for Wednesday is we start with a superintendent one at 1 o'clock, and it will be just like we invited Ozzie in for an update on reform, and we've invited Mayor Katz, and she wants very much to come, and but hasn't confirmed. And if she can't come on Wednesday, we'll have her on the following Monday, because we will not be meeting this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We will not meet this Friday. Right.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Would you please explain the delay on 2249? What more do we need to do on that bill before it moves?
Well, I had a request from one of the stakeholders, and it's not in the interest of killing the bill, but in the enhancing, not changing what you see here, but adding to it. And so I'm just going to exercise the chair's prerogative and see if that's done, because I'm very supportive of the bill and I will not allow it to be killed.
Sorry, I can't recall what's been done, Mr. Chair.
Changing the name of the State Scholarship Commission.
Oh.
The first bill that we had the public hearing.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's just too recent.
I was thinking of some trying to put it back that way.
And my other comment goes to the discussion that we are going to continue on Wednesday around education reform.
Yes.
if it is at all possible to hear from students from as many different districts as possible, that would also be very enlightening, I'm sure. After all, they are the ones that we are holding accountable and responsible to achieve under the current STEM standards, and we've been hearing various anecdotal information, hearing and reading various anecdotal information, and I think it would be good for us to hear their voices on the record along with the various other people that you have scheduled to appear.
That's a fine suggestion. In fact, I have asked a young man who's a junior at Central High School, Alex, can't think of his last name, but he's been turning down here 2 days for me. And he is a Russian immigrant. He came to this country 9 years ago with his parents and his mother. They're Jewish, and so they had to flee from Russia. And anyway, he has just excelled at Sunset High School. And he has big complaints about the SIM and the CAM because he wants to go to a university, and the work in his mind that is required in the SIM, for instance, is of no consequence to most of the universities that he goes to. And in his mind, he recognizes that it's, the teachers are burning out on it because of the extra work, in his opinion, is not really enhance our opportunity to go to school. So he will be down here to testify. In fact, he has gathered petitions in the Central High School area from teachers and parents and students to address it. You know, he doesn't want to throw reform out, but and I think that's what we heard Ozzy say was, you know, stay the course, fund adequate, but get into that long-term discussion how we're going to fund it adequately, because that's so critical. Once again, you know, if this is going to succeed, it's got to be teacher driven, so we have to train the teachers and give them the time to do the important things.
Well, you know, it's an interesting comment because it does say if we have students who don't have the basic skills expected of the SIM, then we should be devoting lots of attention. What, as you said, the factors involved with the teacher load, the cutbacks, and so forth, because the concept is to be sure that every student has this before you move on. If you don't have it, you can move. If you already have it, you should be at this next stage of moving on. And that sounds idealistic, but we certainly that should be our thrust, I think, to keep pushing.
Do you want any teachers to come in and share that?
Certainly.
Okay.
That was a previous request, I think.
Well, that's good, because you met with a group of teachers.
Yeah, I have some teachers I could invite.
Would you for next Monday, then?
That would be great. Next Monday.
Yeah, next Monday.
Well,
yeah.
I'm healthy with students for Wednesday. I don't know who to call.
Students for Wednesday?
Uh-huh. That was the request.
Well, my student is coming next Monday.
Okay.
So does someone have students for Wednesday?
I'll make them
okay. Okay.
I'd like to do that. I really would. But boy, we can stack this either way we want it to go. That's what worries me just a little bit.
Hey, the chairman will not allow that to be stacked.
Well, but I want to stack on me.
I know. That's why I said that.
But I do think we do need to see about first working and what's not.
Absolutely. And, you know, the reason, let me say again why I'm doing this. You know, I wasn't here in 91. I wasn't here in 93. Past 35, 65, and 91. And did nothing on it in 93. Didn't even have a bill or a hearing on any, you know, modification. In 95, we spent a lot of time, 29 and 91, I think, made some improvements. Obviously, we need some more improvements. And so I want to have, you know, really an in-depth review or update on how are we doing. Not with the idea that, you know, that I want to provide a vehicle to eliminate school reform. And you see, speaking of that, as a courtesy to the senator from Lake Oswego, he has a bill that would make the act optional, and I'm opposed to that. However, I'm going to give him the courtesy of having a hearing on it, and so when Superintendent Byrne is here giving his update, the question will be, why don't we make it optional? And of course, I know the reason I don't want to make it optional, and it sure won't get out of this committee with me as chairman, but I really believe that a chairman is obliged to, whether you agree with the bill or not, to, you know, have a hearing on it. So that's kind of the genesis of what we're doing.
Mr. Chair, I wish other chairs shared your philosophy on
that. I've heard that before.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
How are you looking, in looking ahead past this session and at the interim, which would also provide another opportunity
mm-hmm.
to keep looking at mm-hmm. education reform and the additional work that's required to make sure that it's adequately implemented. Have you given thought to what that interim might look like and your involvement and the involvement of other of leadership if, and also the role that the House might play?
Right. In fact, I talked to Senator Adams about that the other day. It's going to be my recommendation that during the interim, we not have a Senate and a House committee. We have a joint committee whose major attention will be given still how we're doing the reform
mm-hmm.
and how are we going to finance it.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the main, because hopefully, you know, we're making improvements along, but
mm-hmm.
that would be my suggestion for the interim.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have one concern.
Well, go ahead. This is the time to voice the concerns.
If the committee's looking for things different.
True.
I don't like to start out in the premise of negative comments.
Well, I know that's been voiced, you know, like during Senator's bill, you know, they've given a vehicle to eliminate reform, but that won't happen. Oh, okay. Well, we'll discuss it.
I just think this kind of committee is kind of a positive force that can raise some
mm-hmm.
good issues.
So you're suggesting
that we get caught in some other agenda.
Okay. Jim?
There is a bill that would require during the interim to review the 21st Century Schools Act.
Yeah.
It passed out last week on the House floor, Council 2548. Well, it doesn't show the update debate, but there has been a discussion over in the House.
I believe that.
What does that bill require?
Just that an interim committee be formed and that it review the act, my understanding.
Is that coming out of the Education Committee?
I think it's mm-hmm. out of House Education, and it doesn't look like it's been on the floor yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make sure that we have that bill in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
If it does, come over to me.
Mm-hmm.
Gary?
Thank you, Senator. Gary Andy again. As you're talking about interim, I'd just like to add, on behalf of all the teacher education programs in the state, public and private, private sector accounts for roughly half, and the public sector for roughly half. These teacher education programs are desperately in need of being at those tables.
Mm-hmm.
They are typically not, and they really need to be. And as you're thinking about interim activities and conversations, I hope you will include them because they're very much a part of how this gets done.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think the point came up when we were talking the other day, you know, how do we enhance the profession of teaching, get our best high school students to go and be trained, and I think someone mentioned maybe it was, you know, Ways and Means sub that the president of Western Oregon said, well, the teachers that are graduating today are being instructed, you know, to teach to the reforms, so to speak. But, you know, that's a very few teachers compared to the very large group that needs the, you know, training and staff development. And so I see that as if we're going to make this act work, reform work, well, that's where we need to spend a lot of time and attention. And as Gary and Dean said, I haven't talked to a single public or private institution that's doing teacher training that doesn't recognize that that's what needs to be done for the students or the, you know, students entering and the ones that are out in the field. So,
I just think we need to be very deliberate and thoughtful in our planning for the interim. And what I would like to see, and I'm just going to lay it out here, is a joint committee made up of some folks who are proponents of education reform. I understand that there are other points of view, and I'm not afraid of hearing those other points of view and, you know, hearing the skepticism. But I think that I'm hoping that if leadership in both chambers is committed to education reform, that leadership will make sure that we put together a joint committee of folks who are committed to moving things ahead. And I just can't say that strongly enough, but I think we have to start now in that planning and not wait until the gavel goes down at sunny time.
Good comment. Just at noon, I shared with Brady, again, a couple of my thoughts, because at 3 o'clock, I'm going to be in front of the Oregon editorial board on school finance. And, you know, I read one of the New York Times, the local paper, what the governor of New Hampshire is doing. Suit has been brought against them because they fund all their schools with a local property tax.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like she's going to be able to institute a statewide property tax that would take out, you know, some of the differences between the haves and have-nots. And wouldn't that be interesting if we could do that? And it would be an opportunity for better balance between the residential homes and the businesses. And I tell you, businesses that I know, they would, if it all went to education. And one of the reasons that, New Hampshire or Rhode Island? New Hampshire is where this is happening, is that they don't have an income tax, and so that's the way most are doing. And then the other thing, George W., in Texas, he's going to do two things. He's going to cut taxes and raise more money for education, he says. And that's in front of the Texas legislature. Now, of course, they have a surplus of $1 billion, and so you can probably do that. But what you said, Senator Bailey, is absolutely right. We have to have people sit down that are in the position to have a positive impact on improving the quality of education, and at the same time finding a way to finance it stably. I mean, this exercise that goes through every 2 years, when I think what we did last session to get to 4.35, and now we're trying to get to 4.95, and...
Well, you know, Mr. Chair, again, just speaking frankly, and I guess we're still on the record here.
Yes.
We can look outward all we want at what's happening in other states and look at the leadership that other governors are providing, and that certainly is instructive and can be constructive towards the things that we want to achieve here. But our governor is also taking leadership on this school funding issue, and really is leading us toward the 2000 ballot. The issue that we all have to grapple with is, what are we willing to do around tax reform, tax restructuring, looking at increasing revenue to support all of education, pre-K through higher ed. That's the discussion that he's willing to put forward, and I think what I'm waiting to see is what kind of bipartisan support we're going to be able to develop to move that discussion along, not just in this building, because we know where the pitfalls are within this building, but out of the building and out and around Oregon, where there are still lots of people who need to be convinced that, you know, education deserves to be supported at a higher priority than it currently is. So I guess what I'm saying is, how are we going to support our governor? He is our governor. And when are we going to let him know what quality of support he can count on? That is in fact bipartisan support. I think that's a challenge for all of us to work for.
Absolutely. I just will comment on that. I'm very sensitive. I said when Tom McCall was governor for 8 years, that was 4 years in the House and 4 years in the Senate,
and we had what I thought was the very best tax reform possible, using the sales tax, the property tax, and the income tax, and very well balanced. And Tom McCall, the great communicator, carried that message for the R's and the D's. We all won it, and it lost 7-1 or 8-1. And so that's why I say we have to be especially sensitive to what's working in other states, and hopefully we can learn. But I agree with you 100%. I think the vast majority of the citizens of this state really feel that the governor has good intentions in terms of improving the quality and being fair in taxation. We're going to have to find out how we get there and what we're going to do. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've just seen the last real bipartisan kind of a movement I saw was, would have been in 86, Attia's governor, Democrat House 7, all finding Attia had always been opposed to sales tax, but did move slightly. You realize, hey, that's the only answer.
Mm-hmm.
Move forward. Neil and Norman were both running for governor, one Democrat and one.
Mm-hmm.
So they, I remember, all of this stuff, yeah, and that everyone. I mean, you talked about joint force, which we didn't do very well that time, but it was really great to watch everyone coming together.
Mm-hmm.
It's an exciting thing when that happens. And I suppose we just should keep working.
Mm-hmm. You know, coming?
It's bad enough. At least when you have everybody working together, if you're mm-hmm. going in different directions.
I'm glad we're having the conversation in the way that we are, and this committee has been so open to having this kind of discussion when we ran out of bills to talk about.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that, Mr. Chair, because, you know, Senator Courtney is the one who has said since the beginning of the session, this is the last legislative
mm-hmm.
session of this century.
Mm-hmm.
We're defining the legacy that we'll be leaving, but we're also very much defining the future.
Absolutely.
And I think back to the vote that we just had on the floor around, was that 486, and, you know, trying to increase the involvement of parents in our schools. And I would like to think that that isn't going to be the defining moment,
mm-hmm.
or that won't be the last statement
mm-hmm.
of the kind of courage or lack of that we're willing to demonstrate collectively. And that's not to cast aspersions at anyone, but, you know, this is it. This is the opportunity. You just use it or we don't.
Absolutely. Any other business come before the committee? Not really.